I'm going to call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration to order. The clerk will note the roll. We do have a quorum. Representative Simon will move the minutes from the May 2nd, 2007 hearing. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Members, I'll move the proposed calendar for the day for Monday, May 7th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. But members, we are going to now move to the proposed amendments to the permanent house rules. And if you look in your packets, they're in a particular order. It's my hope and understanding, well, there's 13 amendments in your packet. There are 7 of these amendments that are compiled into the first 2 pages, and these are entirely new rules. And then the remaining 6 are amendments to the rules. So if it's all right with the committee, we can address the new rules first on the first 2 pages, the proposed new rules. And we can take them in any order that folks want. I would be willing to, if anybody is willing to move any of the amendments, it would be appropriate this time to make a motion on that. Representative Paulson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that some members may, who have sponsored actually or authored some of these proposed changes, might actually be here in the audience and may want to say something if and when we move those. They might want to start with either Representative Erickson or I think Representative Coles had a provision.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if Representative Coles' provision is not on the first sheet. Do you want to deal with the first sheet?
If we could do the first sheet. Absolutely we'll get to Representative Coles.
Okay.
Well, he's been the most persistent member of making sure we had this meeting. I don't know if he trusted me or not that I was going to have the meeting, but I see he's here bright and early in the morning, so good to see Representative Coles.
Well, Mr. Chair, I will move the 8.12, I guess, rule proposal, if that makes sense, on line 1.2 of page 1. That's Representative Erickson's.
Okay, Representative Erickson, if you want to join us at the table, thank you. Representative Paulson moves the 8.12 rule. Representative Erickson, good morning.
Mr. Chair and committee, and the reason I'm proposing that we put what you have labeled 8.12 in rules is that this is good fiscal responsibility to continue the tradition that was begun several years ago, that we have one day for official office duty during the interim, and that we be paid for that one day only. The rest of the amendment is, I think, relevant to what the official activities of the House and the legislature or state government might be involved. But in regard to office duty, just the one day for per diem.
Okay. Discussion to the rule. Representative Portman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erickson, what if one of our chairs had a field hearing in a different location and members couldn't travel to have the hearing and travel back all on the same days? You were saying that they would only have per diem for one of those 3 days that they might be involved?
Representative Erickson?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hartman, and that's not applicable to this particular rule. This is only office duties, the one day of the month that we come into work in our offices. This does not have to do with committee hearings or any other business that's related to what the speaker may or a chair of a committee may determine. This is just for office duty.
Representative Portman.
Follow-up, then, for those of us who work in a metropolitan area and would be here more than one day a month on constituent business would not be able to get per diem for more than one day.
Representative
Chair, I'm Representative Portman. That's correct.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I think it's an inadvisable rule because what it would do is it would restrict the amount of constituent services that members do in the interim, and I don't think restricting the amount of service we provide to our constituents is a good idea.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Simpson.
Well, to that point, I do constituent services on a daily basis all summer long, and I don't drive 200 miles every day to do it. So I think what Representative Erickson is doing is I don't see a problem with it. He gives us the opportunity. If we do make that trip down one day a week or one day a month, we get paid for it. But to say that we don't do constituent services on a monthly, daily basis, I think is a little offsided.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative House.
Could you tell me, remind me what it is right now if we don't do this amendment?
Mr. McCormick, do you know this, or should I get somebody from the...
Mr. Chairman, I understand it used to be this way a few years ago, I think.
It may have been, but I believe now it's... I hear Representative Carlson speaking a bit about it. I think our rules are actually silent on this. We more have a policy. Representative Biskins.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I do think that it would be appropriate for us to have a policy because if our rules are silent on it, then there could be the appearance of impropriety, with some members being allowed more days, and it'd probably take a lot of heat off of the majority leader and the speaker on whether or not they should approve, how many days for X legislator, how many days for Y legislator. Right, we have a rule. This is how many days, and I think it'd probably be a more comfortable situation for the majority leader and the speaker over the hour.
Mr. Biskins, I'm always comfortable with whatever we have. The practice right now is 2 days, members, for the most part. Any further discussion? Representative Carlson.
Briefly, what would the status of this rule were adopted be for a committee chair or a subcommittee chair that comes in and is working the staff to plan legislative hearings and that kind of thing? I would think that would be particularly detrimental if
you have to be
more interpreted to restrict that, especially row members that might have that right in and spend time giving staff direction and that kind of thing as part of the planning process.
That's interesting.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I believe as a committee chair you'd be taking the expenses out of your budget. In my discussions with Speaker Emeritus Swigum last night, he said that each committee has a budget and then they are empowered to use their budget. As a committee chair, you would make that determination. So when you're working with your staff, that's outside the purview of working on constituent services or doing office business on the one day that was part of our tradition for the 8 years that Republicans were in the majority in the House.
Representative Carlson.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, that I would interpret if this were adopted the same way that Representative Erickson.
Okay. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, at some other time later on, I would think the Rules Committee will be adopting some policies as well.
Yes.
And I think that's much more appropriate to be in a policy than it is to be in a rule.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the 8.12 rule? The A3, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Thank you, Representative Erickson. Any other amendments? Representative Biscuits.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'll move the 8.13.
Representative Biscuits moves the 8.13, that is the House Rule A4, and it is your amendment from the day on the floor. Representative Biskins.
Mr. Chair, members, if your experience is anything like mine, probably one of the most hotly debated issue in my district has been the per diem issue. It's always a very contentious issue. I have some fairly strong feelings on the per diem issue, but the more we can make this process open, all right, and the more transparent we can make this process, I think only serves our reputation. Having compensation increases done in a committee that's available to all, I think just gives a bad appearance to members of the House of Representatives. So at least this moves us further down the line of more transparency, more openness in how legislators are compensated, and I'd request approval.
Okay. Discussion. Representative Paulson.
Mr. Chair, I'll just add, I believe the Senate, I think, when they had their discussions on per diem, and actually, you know, they raised the dollar amount much higher than the House had done for per diem, but, you know, I think they had a vote on the floor for the Senate. I think that's the intent of Representative Biskins, to just have the body as a whole vote on it rather than just the members who are on the Rules Committee. So I would support it for that reason.
Any further discussion? Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I absolutely believe that the Rules Committee is an important place to make some of these votes, and I don't think that we ought to be having political votes on the House floor solely for the fact that they're political votes. We make lots of decisions here in this Rules Committee, and to think that we would have to bring every decision that we make here in the Rules Committee to the floor, I think that that would kind of be the direction we'd be moving here, and I would oppose it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the A4 amendment on House Rule 8.13 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Representative Paulson.
Mr. Chairman, I will move the 8.14 amendment, and that is the one that hopefully, Mr. Chair, and you and the others in leadership right now, we're moving towards adjournment and finishing up our session on time. But this would apply strictly for the per diem, more limits in terms of being limited if we don't get our work done in time, and I know there are a lot of freshman members. I think this was Representative Hosh's bill, I believe, and I know there are a number of Democratic freshmen and Republican freshmen who I think both last year and this year are actually authoring this provision, and so I would move it just from the spirit of bipartisanship, and I think that this is one that I think has probably a lot more support from some of the younger members in both caucuses, and would be interested in hearing if there's any feedback.
Okay, Representative Paulson moves the HDA-027, the 8.14 amendment. Discussion, Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we should be so unfortunate to have us do that, we should also probably pass a law that the governor would not receive any pay as well, or expenses, and would probably even have to drive his own car. But this is a choice that some people make themselves. They don't have to take it. That should ever happen.
Representative Portman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On this point, I think this is a matter of personal responsibility. I and two-thirds of the legislature did not take per diem in the special session, and so I don't think we need a rule to tell us what we should do as to the dictates of our own conscience and our own constituents. Some members who live far away have a completely different situation, and I can't imagine some of us even being able to serve if we lived far away. And so I think it really isn't fair to the rural members, and I think those of us in the metro area who have the personal responsibility to say no are doing that now.
Senator Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I always hope that this body will be representative of Minnesota, and for some people, just serving in the legislature is a financial sacrifice. And most of the time, special sessions are short. They're a few days. But in my first term, we got 7 weeks of continuous special session, which was unprecedented. Most of us gave up our regular paycheck for that entire 7 weeks. We were expected to be back at the job and earning our keep in another way. And I really think we ought to leave it to the individual responsibility of the members and their own personal family circumstance, because I don't think the door to legislative service should be closed to people who have really tight family budgets and who don't earn a lot of money.
Epson House.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is a serious issue, but to shed just a little bit of humor on it, maybe we should do it a little bit more like Survivor. And at the end of session, if our work isn't done, each side of the aisle picks 10 members that have to leave, and we have a special session. But I'm not going to – I'll take responsibility for every bad decision or vote I make. But if you, Mr. Majority Leader, or the Speaker, or the Majority Leader in the Senate, or the Governor – work it in such a way that I have to be here again, then I'm going to be paid for that service. So I'm opposed.
And then the tribe has spoken.
Well, Representative House said basically what I was going to say. You know, Les, my first big, long special session here, I voted for every bill when it was before me. And I happened to vote the right way, I might add. And I did my work. And then the governor and Speaker Swigum and Dean Johnson went off in a room somewhere, and maybe a few other people, and they sent us home making two round trips a week from the Canadian border, and we sat there and waited. and no paycheck coming in from the other job, it's just not going to happen. I'm voting no.
Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of echo what the last two speakers have said, but as a construction worker and I show up on a job site, my boss sends me there and doesn't have the material there I need to do my job, to say, well, I'm not going to pay you because you didn't do your job because I didn't give you what you have to get done, is not right. Normally we get paid overtime when we do stuff like that, and I'm not suggesting we do that in the legislature, but when it's not your own fault, and like you said, like Representative Bill said, we worked hard, we did our jobs, we passed the bills, we sent them forward. Sometimes stuff that's beyond our control happens, and I think we should get paid for the work we do.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Representative Paulson removes his motion on HDA-027. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Representative Nelson, good job.
He voted for it before he voted.
That's the distance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That's the distance. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd move the 8.11 amendment.
Representative Biskins moves House Rules A2 Amendment, the 8.11 amendment. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I believe Representative Detmer is in the audience, and he was the author. If he could come forward to speak to it.
Representative Detmer, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The 8.11, that has nothing to do with when we're in session, just when we're out of session. That we would turn in just receipts for our actual expenses up to the amount that established by the House. So I'm just used to doing that with our school district. When we go on activities as a teacher, we turn in receipts for actual expenses.
Okay, discussion. I saw a hand up there first. Representative Solberg, I believe, had his hand up first. And we'll...
I'm sorry.
You had your hand up first, Representative Solberg?
Well, one of the things that we have to be concerned about in this is the amount of administrative costs in the House. As we had some hearings and some information from them just on the issue of our internet service and telephone bill, and if you recall the amount of stacks of papers that they brought in, and we changed our policy to be able to have somewhat of a less administrative cost. So I think that the policy that we have right now is sufficient.
Representative Demmer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As I recall right now, everybody in the House gets $77, whatever, $66, whatever they chose to take one day a week or one day a month when we're out of session, correct?
2 days.
Whether we're down here or not.
Representative Demmer, there is no standing policy on this. It's been anywhere between 1 or 2 days a month, and we've yet to establish a new policy.
Okay. All my amendment does is just, if we are working down here, that we just turn in a receipt for what we do, up to the amount.
Okay. F.M. Hartman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think it would be difficult for people to turn in a receipt accounting for the cost of not going to their other job. And part of what we do as House members is when we do work during the interim, we're not going to our other job. We're not getting paid at our other job. And so I don't think that the Detmer rule is workable from that standpoint.
Okay. Representative Dill?
No.
Okay. Representative Junkie?
Well, actually, Representative Detmer, I support you on this, but I don't know if this is the right way to do it. I've always said, frankly, you're right. When we're out doing our job, the only way to get reimbursed is to request per diem from a committee or from the leadership. Yet we go to lunches, we go to... we go to all sorts of seminars and we go to other things, even within our district. And like you said, if you work for a school district or something else, you can turn in that receipt and get your $6 for the lunch or your $20 for the registration for the seminar or whatever without having to go beg, frankly, and I'm one of them now, but go beg a committee chair for it. So I don't know that, like Representative Solberg said, I don't know if this is the exact way to work it or not, but I do think it's something that's worth further discussion because, again, we are professionals, and we do legislative business, and there should be a way to get reimbursed. And I don't think people necessarily disagree with you. I'm just struggling with how to go about administering that. So I don't think you're off base.
Further discussion? Representative Biskens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, I'm not unsympathetic to Mr. Schweitzer's job, all right? And I did hear the testimony on the mountains of paperwork, and I do understand that issue. I understand it particularly during session, all right? But when we're talking about the interim, when we're talking about, you know, 1, 2, maybe 4 or 5 days, depending upon, you know, how busy people get, I'm not sure the mountain is as tall. All right, maybe it's more like a mogul than it is a mountain. All right, so I would support this, and I'd also caution the committee to use to be very careful about using the rationale that was brought forward by Representative Hortman. All right, if we are going to start calling per diem compensation for our jobs, all right, then we're on a very slippery slope constitutionally. So I really caution us using that for a rationale why to vote against this amendment.
Further discussion? Representative Paulson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'll ask for a roll call, but also I'd like to ask, I'll just say, you know, the concept of per diem centers around expenses, and I think maybe Representative Detmer, you can just expound upon this. But, you know, if school districts and other units of government, like Representative Junkie said, require actual expense reimbursements, I think this would be a lot to bring sunshine on the process. I mean, just to sort of eliminate or dissipate any illusion or thought that, you know, the legislature is just padding their pockets with, you know, $77 a day. I mean, it just applies to direct amounts of, you know, a lunch meeting, a dinner meeting, travel expenses. It's kind of just follows the general accounting practices, I guess, is kind of the thought. And maybe this isn't the exact language, like Representative Junkie said, but I think that's the concept.
Members,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Detmer.
I know it, from my experience, it's just one form, one sheet of paper is what I've used to just be filling out, and you just fill in your what your parking was or meals or whatever, so it wasn't a big handicap on my district when I used the voucher form for expenses.
Members, in listening to this discussion, and I've thought about this quite a bit previous to this, it's important for us to make sure that if we make any decisions that we have the ability within our structure of our staff and in-house fiscal and services and HR that we could do this. I'd be uncomfortable spreading something before we would figure out what the paper would look like and how much work it would be. I think issues such as this are more appropriate to set inside policy, which we do at the beginning of session, but which we'll do at the end of session here when it comes to setting committee budgets and other interim work. I'm more comfortable setting those sorts of issues in policy than I am into the rules of the House without a full discussion on how this would affect our staff and how we compensate, we get compensation and reimbursement. So we can certainly vote on this and have a roll call, but I think it would be best if we were to go down this road to have a more full discussion with our staff that deals with this issue. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A school district can get reimbursed every single day for every single meeting. So are you proposing that rather than having the limit, the 1 day or 2 day for which we have a policy, that will be set, that any member who has any expense throughout the entire interim be able to get reimbursed? Because, frankly, I go to a number of meetings for which I have expenses for, and I think that this could actually increase the budget of the House rather than allowing members to have a limited number of days. And so I think that the potential increase in cost should be fully explored. And, Mr. Chair, I don't necessarily know that we know what our budget is going to be, and this could blow the bank of the legislature.
Representative Dammer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Hillstrom, no, I'm not proposing that. We have a limit, what I believe is 1 day a month when we're not in session. So that's all my amendment is addressing.
Okay. Representative Junk. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, again, would comment, if we are going to go down the road of reimbursing actual expenses, then we ought to be considering actual expenses. To say that you only get to count actual expenses for one day when you may have many different meetings over the course of a week, I think is irresponsible, actually. I think that we need to have it one way or another. We're either going to reimburse expenses, and then, again, that might blow the bank, or we're going to reimburse via per diem and limit the number of days. I think you can't have it both ways.
Okay. Representative Denver.
Mr. Chairman. No, I'm not addressing that at all. I just want to stay within the policy and just go with that one day. Now, there's many times where I'm out doing things with my coaching and teaching that I'm not reimbursed for. I realize that. But, again, my amendment doesn't address those things.
Representative Junkie.
Well, I'd ask you both this down because I don't think it should be in the House rules like Sertich said, but I do think we need to talk about it. Once we have our budget set with the state government finance bill being signed into law, we'll have our budgets. And then sit down, just like we do now with the 2 days and one night a week that members get from rural Minnesota and mileage in and out, and then perhaps establish what that policy will be over the interim for expense reimbursement. I don't know that it goes in the House rules. I think you're right. It goes in a resolution on how we pay members in the interim, and I think that's the best place to do it. And I think I heard you say we would talk about that at that time, and I take you at your word, Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a kind of a, well, I had about $16,000 last year in unreimbursed mileage just to travel in my district. It's 9,200 square miles. And I had to take that out of my campaign account. I took it out of my campaign account to pay for it. But yet my constituents and friends of David Dill for District 6A are giving me money to campaign on. They write a check that says Dill for 6A or campaign for Dill or whatever they write on the check so that it can go into my campaign account. And I have a problem with the fact that we are soliciting money to campaign, a campaign donation, and the people think that we're paying for ads or stickers or things like that, and when we're really paying the expenses of the house. And I've never been in a position in a job either as an employer when I was an employer or when I was an employee that I didn't get paid for stuff that I had to do, especially out-of-pocket expenses, and particularly mileage to go from here to there. When I was a city administrator and they said, go to a meeting, I went to a meeting, I turned in the mileage. You know, and we have this little interim mileage thing. Now, that $16,000 was less the amount that I get paid for interim mileage
mm-hmm.
in district. So I'm with you, but it needs to be different. It needs to be in the not in the rules. I mean, this is not right. It's not right that we have to go to do things and not get reimbursed for it, the fair amount.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I do want to address Representative Hillstrom's concern because I think it's a red herring. If you read the amendment, it is crafted in such a way that there is a cap. Right? This amendment would, of course, create the need for another amendment as to what that level is set at, all right? So there is a cap at blowing the bank, all right? One of the benefits of moving forward with this amendment, though, is you don't have to think in one day, right? You may do meetings over the course of a week, and it might add up to $25 one day and $15 the next, up to a cap. All right, and I think it's a very appropriate amendment and one we should vote for.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I want to say that I support your idea of having a more thorough discussion about this in terms of setting policy rather than in the rules. Having managed a staff of 45 people doing, just as you described, expenses and reimbursement, it is an onerous task, one that takes a lot of staff time to make sure that everything is in order. And I don't think that we should make this decision without having a thorough discussion with our HR people so we know what kind of demands we're putting on them. Thank you.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I like the basic idea behind this amendment. I think
revisiting per diem in general is a good idea. I think rural members get an absolute raw deal, and I think if in the future we could tier it somehow, so people like Representative Dill and others, I mean, they have to sacrifice a lot more than I do, or people in the metro area, just little things, two tubes of toothpaste, two alarm clocks, all that. I get to sleep in my own bed every night, one tube of toothpaste, one alarm clock, all that stuff, and I think they really get a raw deal, and it's a tremendous sacrifice. That said, I think one frustration that the public has is that this whole per diem thing is kind of shrouded in mystery. I simply can't, myself, my own decision, I'm not making a moral judgment on anyone else, I can't justify $77 a day. I live 15 miles away. If you count gas, a MnDOT lunch, even a dinner, there's no way I approach $77 unless I consider that basically salary, in which case, as Representative Fiskin says, we are on a slippery slope. We're not allowed to raise our own compensation. And if we think of this as compensation, we're in big trouble. I think we really are. And I think all that leads to the conclusion that many have said before, that the more honest thing to do would probably be to raise the legislative pay and slowly over time get rid of the per diem games, because I'll be the first to say I can't personally justify $77 a day for myself. I can't look a constituent in the eye and say that is not compensation, but really reimbursing me for driving to the suburbs and having a MnDOT lunch and maybe a dinner. I can't do that. Maybe others can, and that's fine. I can't, but I think rural members ought to get more, because they do really, really get a raw deal around here, and Representative Dill is only one example of that.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I think it best be careful with this for a variety of reasons. When you get into this discussion, there are IRS rules that come into play in terms of mileage or distance from the capital and how your taxes are treated at your metro. You do have to, in fact, add this as compensation, in a sense, on taxes. If you're rural, you get the per diem rate set by the IRS. But more important, I think this would be really a very negative issue relative to rural members. When I was a committee chair before we went into the minority a few years ago, I had several members who were from the far north, and the travel time came into play. And how would you calculate that? When I would sign off for the per diem, I had one member who came from the far northwest corner. I think it was right on the drive from here to Chicago, almost, in terms of distance. When you put it in that context, then I would sign off on per diem. When that member would travel down the day before, we would have a legislative hearing. And if I recall, I think he was entitled to a day's travel time on the way back. So you're really opening up a whole lot of very important issues when you start talking about how you would reimburse, and especially when you start talking about time behind the wheel.
President Paulson?
Well, this is an interesting discussion, because it sounds like most of the folks in the in the room here support the concept, but they prefer that it be in the policy. But, you know, just looking specifically at the language, this says in regular session the per diem policy will stay as it is right now, but when we're not in regular session, that's when the Rules Committee and you, Mr. Chairman, would have that flexibility to set a level to help compensate Representative Dill or Representative Carlson, other rural members, for actual expenses. And I think that eliminates that shroud of mystery, as Representative Simon said. I mean, this is very, very straightforward, and this does nothing to lock us into place on what exactly the policy will be. It allows you, Mr. Chairman, and the Rules Committee to establish what that level of actual expense reimbursement is going to be. I think it's sound with accounting practices. It's going to help rural members. It's not going to be a negative at all, and it's going to, I think, bring a little sunshine in the process. So I would definitely support this.
FM Mahoney.
I'm a little confused here, because when I go to the grocery store, I always end up talking to my constituents. Do I get to take that as an expense? Good, bad, or indifferent, last summer I worked with a couple of constituents on a construction site, and they were such pleasant people that they had to continually talk to me about politics. Do I get to expense my to and from my other job? If you want to talk about a slippery slope, you can go all sorts of slippery slopes around here. I think this is a... I'm not sure I'm not going to support the amendment, and I would really caution people that if we're going to have this particular discussion, you're opening up a significant box, and be careful.
Representative Demmer, while I'm not going to be supporting this today, I pledge to you that we will be looking at this in a policy way, in a resolution way, before the end of session to address this as we have to for many instances, most particularly the one Representative Dill spoke about, and this isn't the first time we've heard about Representative Dill and other issues. We're going to have some resolution on this issue of interim reimbursement. I pledge to you to have you in the loop if you would so choose between now and when we make those decisions. But if you have any final comments, Representative Demmer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Committee. I like the comments that Representative Paulson indicated, and I think we can work into something, an amendment or wording where I think our whole image to our community, to the state, the people that are looking at us would be enhanced, I think, when they know that we are accountable to our expenses and with our receipts. So I would hope that the committee could, like you said, Mr. Chairman, really look into this and make some changes for us and address the issues of the people that are outstate.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Sertich.
No.
Biskins.
Yes.
Carlson.
No.
Dill.
Nope.
Earhart. Finstead. Hillstrom.
No.
Portman. Howes.
No.
Junkie.
No.
Louie.
No.
Loeffler.
No.
Magnus.
No.
Mahoney.
No.
Murphy.
No.
Nelson.
No.
Osment.
No.
Paulson.
Yes.
Pulowski. Peterson.
No.
Simon.
Yes.
Simpson.
Yes.
Solberg.
No.
Thiessen. Tinglestead.
No.
Westrom.
No.
Winkler.
There being 4 ayes and 17 noes, the amendment to the rules is not adopted. Representative Biskins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on line 1.5, I would move the A25 amendment.
Representative Biskins moves the A25 amendment, rule 2.11. See Representative Garofalo is here. Representative Garofalo, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
I thought you were coming at me for a minute there, but you're only going somewhere.
No, I just thought I had something to throw away for Chairman. But, you know, Mr. Chairman and members, I've had a unique ability since I was a little kid to get everybody mad at me. So I'm going to take a shot at that today.
Keep it up, Pat.
You know, I see there's a lot of amendments on per diem and whether we can use the word compensation or not. But and perhaps this discussion took place before I entered the room. And if that did, I apologize. But I know that I think this is... Well, I know it's public, so it's not a secret. Representative Gunther has talked in the past about taking the politics out of this and having the Compensation Commission take a look at things and study the issue and assign members a certain level of pay, and that the legislature could simply delegate that responsibility to the Compensation Committee, and that that ruling wouldn't go effect until next session. Maybe they would lower our salaries. Maybe they would raise them. I don't know. But I know it's something he's had in the past, and I would hope that, Mr. Majority Leader and members of the committee, you would, maybe not today, but next week, next month, next year, have that discussion and consider that as an item. But I tell you, it's pretty frustrating when I won't go into that. But we see what Ramsey County and Hennepin County and our lovely county commissioners are doing and what we're doing to ourselves. And perhaps that might be a remedy for future discussions. But again,
Representative Garofalo, there are some bills introduced with the issue of compensation, and I'd encourage you to maybe look into being a co-author. There's some that actually have very similar remedy to what you're discussing. But I think before us we have electronic floor action, so let's go with that.
Electric floor action. Well, Mr. Chairman, the amendment, the 211 amendment is very simple. On the House floor, I made these comments, and I'll let go on today, that if you're a fiscal conservative, you'll like this issue because it'll save us money. If you're a person who respects the environment and likes to conserve natural resources, this would save paper. the system we use currently for distributing information on the House floor is absolutely modern and updated if it were 1970. The reality is it's 2007. The vast majority of our correspondence that we take place that takes place in the legislature is in electronic form. The amendment does allow an opt-out for those who are not what I would call early adopters or do not want to receive their amendments. It would allow them to receive that to opt out and receive paper proceedings. As was evident on many of the omnibus bills, it's pretty sad when we see truckloads of paper being wasted, leaving the House floor. I would ask for member support and stand for questions from the chair or the members of the committee.
Discussion, Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Garofalo, we did discuss this on the House floor a while back, and I believe I asked the speaker to talk to the chief clerk and ask the chief clerk if this were a rule, how many copies of amendments would the chief clerk have printed? The chief clerk said about 150. So we're not going to save any paper, none whatsoever. And if I'm fortunate enough to be here at a time when this rule would be put into effect, I will ask for a paper amendment. And the minute I ask, the chief clerk is going to make sure he has 150. So we're not going to save a nickel. Not a nickel. Now, if this were to come out and the amendment was a very, very short one and the member said, yeah, we could do this off the laptops, the pages are still there. We're still going to pay them whatever we pay them. So we're not going to save any money there. I think, Representative Garofalo, you yourself making the choice of not taking the amendment and doing it off your laptop and telling the page when they come by that you don't need that piece of paper to save that piece of paper for the next day would be wonderful. But otherwise, this is a waste of time.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually thought that I like this amendment a lot, the way this amendment is drafted, because it's only printed on one side of the paper and two pages. And I've been looking at the bills lately that have been coming before us, and they're printed on both sides. And what I'd like to do is maybe amend the motion and make it so that we had to print them only on one side and increase the font to about 24. And then we might be able to have a forest industry up in the north.
And Representative Junkie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I like parts of this, and I think it makes sense. I do think we should go electronic wherever we can. However, like Representative Howes said, this is just too all-encompassing. I think you do need to have amendments and bills as paper copies and that members would request. I don't necessarily think you would have to have bill summaries or fiscal documents other than a handful because most of us don't request them or do go to the computer to look them up. But the other problem, and we are doing some things to decrease paper. If you remember in Representative Tan's bill this year, we're going to 8.5 by 11, we hope, instead of the larger size we have here, which is going to save substantial money. But what bothers me the most is when you're electronic 100%, we all saw what happened to GroupWise on the House floor a number of days ago. We basically were shutting it down. And I've been hearing a lot of members when we've blacked out and lost power at the Capitol, and then we're done. Where if we have paper copies, we can continue to work as we did that day. We were actually headed to the well for our speeches that day without the electronics and the lights, but the sun coming through the top was able to do it. So I think you're on the right track with some of this, and again, I think it's that point that we need to have, as you suggested with pay, someone sit down and talk about, and I've always been one along with Representative Hoppe and others, how can we do more things electronically? How can we be more efficient with technology? And I'm happy to look into that. But I think this amendment is just a little too broad in its scope at this time.
That's ungraspable.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, the GroupWise problem actually was not a network problem. It was a problem with the DFL server. And I did that. I corrected it. No, that's a joke. I didn't really do that. So that was just explaining that to people. There are concerned there. Regarding the, I'd be more than happy to provide, to amend the amendment and provide exemptions so that in case of emergency, back in 2005 during the summer we had the brownout, if in that sort of situation we could provide some flexibility in the rules to allow for paper copies to be distributed. We could have the chief clerk read them out loud. And I would remind members that this is the process that the Neanderthals in the Senate already have in place. This is something they use already. They're already all electronic. And if they can handle it, I'm pretty sure we can. Representative House, to your comments, while I don't want to speak on behalf of the chief clerk, I think if we were to go to such a system as this, yes, that first day we would have 150 copies printed. And as usage of the amendments became apparent, we saw how many were being used. We could certainly be tapering that down. I don't believe the chief clerk said there have to be 150 copies of everything. But regardless, yourself, Representative Dill, and Representative Solberg do a wonderful job of representing your constituents and the industries in your district, and I understand your concerns on that. So but those are my comments, Mr. Chairman.
I have five people on the list. Representative Mahoney.
The biggest problem I see with this is the glacier speed that my computer works at, which has got it to the point where I don't even bother to bring it to the floor any longer. So that's probably one of the biggest problems for me with this particular amendment. The other is, I'm just wondering, seeing how I'm such a technology geek, maybe you can answer this. Can I write the verbal amendments right on my screen?
Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, 3 points. Number one, I'd be happy to help you with your technology problems. One of my other responsibilities here at the legislature is serve 24/7 tech support, so I'd be more than willing to help you. Number two, Representative, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, is that, again, there is a clause. If you do want to have the amendments in paper, you simply make one request to the chief clerk, and you would receive all your amendments in paper. Third and finally, regarding oral notations or written notations on the amendments, there is technology that exists that we could purchase to allow that sort of electronic collaboration to take place. However, with your laptop, as I understand it, I don't believe you have that ability right now. But that's certainly available. It is 2007.
Representative Mahoney.
Sure. Thank you for that answer. There's always been a delightful part of you that I've enjoyed. You know, it's a good thing you can only be a freshman. No. The problem that I see with this, and I'm willing to try just about anything we want to try and do here in this particular institution, because I think we do need to start moving into in better technology. But we'd have to actually kind of think about this, because if Representative Howes and myself wanted paper copies, many of the pages are here just for a week, so we really wouldn't want to take up any important bills until like Wednesday or Thursday, when the pages start to figure out that we don't look alike or our names are right or whatever. But that's another problem, and I'm sure if we're going to go down this road, we have to have a long conversation about it.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think most of what I was going to say was already taken care of, but the night that our group wise went down, it was interesting that, because Representative Garofalo, which sits a couple chairs away from me, held up a stack of paper and said if we were all electronic, we would be, you know, just think of all the paper we'd save. And I leaned over and said, if we were all electronic, we wouldn't be doing business right now, because we can't get the information because our computers were down. And it was only one side of the house, as he pointed out. It was only the DFL side that group-wise was down. And so, I mean, I think this, I mean, I'm not opposed to some way of doing it, but also, as Representative Mahoney pointed out, the logistics of who Representative Mahoney is, or Representative Nelson or Dill on the floor, if he had 20 people out of 134 that wanted paper copies, the getting them handed out to those people in a timely fashion, I think we're going to slow efforts down. I don't think we're quite ready for this yet, and I don't support the amendment.
Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson, just to clarify, when the DFL server had a problem with the group-wise, had the electronic methods of offering amendments been in effect, it actually would not have affected. People still would have been able to access it. The problem was the specific server on the network. It was not the entire network. That's why members were able to reach the Internet and use those services, but the email services weren't working. So it actually, in that situation, would have worked. But Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson, I will concede that there are certain technology failures that could occur, which could prevent the offering of electronic amendments. But again, in that situation, that sort of colossal failure, if I can use that term, if that were to take place, the staff would be inoperable and be unable to function anyways, and I would suspect that we would be down hard either way.
Just a reminder for folks, just on timeline here, it's almost 5 to 9. We're going to be meeting up until 9:30, and then I know the DFL caucus has a caucus at that time. I don't know if the Republicans do. If we're still going, we'll just recess and come back later today. That's from Westrum.
Chair, a lot of good points have been made. Just to the latest point, with things going down, even with paper members, if copy machines go down, and last night it reminds me of the copy machine, at least on the Republican side. I saw it inside of an hour, three times of a rush going over there to get it fixed and get it, stop it from jamming and things like that. So, I mean, that can happen anytime.
I didn't think you could see
it. Only when I need to, Representative. But members, I would encourage us to support this type of a concept. And Representative Garofalo, while the conversations have been going on here, I leaned over and asked Mr. McCormick from House Research if he could draft an amendment to this to make it a study with some legislators and some staff for a report back to us next year. Because, members, the reason I would encourage us to look at this is because that is the way I get all of my amendments, essentially. Sometimes I use the paper amendments with somebody who will help read them to me, but one of the frustrations I have with the electronic, and a large part of it is just the evolving nature of it, but if we became more electronic around here, there would be better links and better labeling and better setups of electronic systems for all of us to use, as well as the public, in linking to parts of summaries rather than having to open up a summary and read from the top to the bottom, or having much better ways to bookmark within larger documents. And so I would support us going down this road. I do think there's a lot to study, and so Representative Garofalo, I don't know if you would be amenable to it and if members would be amenable to that, but Mr. Chair, maybe just for time purposes and get the discussion going, maybe I could move an oral amendment and have Mr. McCormick read it to the committee.
Reston Westrum, number one, we'd all have to take out our pens to paper for an oral amendment right now. Secondly, I'm a little uncomfortable going down this road of putting a study into our rules. This is certainly something we could look at doing over the interim and getting a group of legislators together. I was considering actually developing a subcommittee of this committee over the interim that would look at efficiencies and how we can be more efficient, and this would certainly fall into that category, and I would once again pledge to the members here that we could handle this issue in that way moving forward. Representative Westrum.
Okay. Mr. McCormick was saying... Mr. Chair, if it's all right, maybe I'll just let Mr. McCormick divulge what he's devised, and then maybe we can heed your advice from there, or see how it would fit into whether it wouldn't necessarily have to be right in the rules. But
Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, members, the way I drafted this, I would strike Rule 2.11 and substitute that this would just be a motion of the Rules Committee. And it would read, study electronic floor actions. The House shall study whether the House floor shall cease use of or minimize use of paper versions of bills, amendments, bill summaries, and fiscal documents prepared by House staff, and shall, to the extent possible, substitute electronic versions of these documents for all floor proceedings. A member would be able to request and then receive paper copies of any document. The chair of the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administrations shall designate members and staff to study this issue and report back to the Rules Committee by October 1, 2007.
Mr. McCormick, that would be a motion then and not to the rules, and we would handle that separately than the rules discussion we're having?
Right, Mr. Chair, this would be, I think the assumption would be that you would delete the rule amendment offered by Representative Garofalo, and then substitute the fact that this committee would study it over the interim.
Okay.
And you could either adopt the Westrom Amendment, or you could just, if you wanted to go down this course, you could just, by common courtesy, often say, well, we'll do this in some version or form. You don't have to adopt a resolution to do a study, but you can.
Okay. Discussion to this. Representative Paulson.
Just to this point, Mr. Chair, I mean, I think the discussion here has been good. I think it would certainly be wise to continue to look at this. And just as when I chaired the committee, I think I pointed to Representative Junkie and Hoppy just to look at some telecommunications issues. And I think, you know, you could probably ease Representative Westrom's, you know, concerns about offering an amendment and Representative Garofalo's proposal here and just, you know, pick a couple of members and actually do this in the interim as we get ready potentially for next year. I think the larger question is, you know, whether you bring up the House rules again if you adopt something, or we can just adopt it by a resolution. But I think it's a good thing to do.
And Representative Paulson, and to members, I believe I said something similar to that, to set up not just on this issue but other issues over the interim. Representative Paulson, then Junkie.
Mr. Chair, I think that this could just simply be a policy that we encourage members to do. And if we start just having members even request that they don't need paper copies, but there are a number of members who are going to need training in using this technology. You know, some members even still have issues opening an attachment to an email. And so prior to moving to completely electronic, we need to make sure that everyone's going to be able to follow along. So I think you could do this just by encouragement. We don't need something in the rules.
There's some Junkie.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd follow what Mr. McCormick and you have suggested. First of all, just don't put this in rule at this time. But then it's broader than what Mr. McCormick did, because I know that, like you say, I've had an interest in Hoppy in the past, and perhaps you could appoint folks like us. And I know Pulowski's been working on it. Garofalo wants to work on it. And it's not just the floor. It's this building and these committee rooms and going wireless, and what are we doing in our rooms as far as hookups to the Senate all has cable, but I think we can do stuff without cable now, and so it's broader than just the House floor. It's the entire body, and how are we going to move electronically and efficiently into different modes. And so I would encourage you, like you just said, to broaden what Mr. McCormick said and appoint a handful of people from both sides to sit down this summer and really figure out what we want to do, because we can do some good things, no question, with electronics.
All right. I have a few people who want to speak right now. Representative Westrom, if you'd be willing to, I don't know if you didn't make the motion yet, but we could continue this discussion. And Representative Garofalo, if you'd be potentially willing to have Representative Biskins withdraw your amendment, we could go down this road, and I'd pledge to Representative Garofalo to have you included, if you so choose, in this group of legislators. You'd be the first person I'd put on there, and then I'd have to talk to the other ones, because I'm not sure I want Junkie.
You're going to get some good stuff with me.
Yeah. involved, but to get a group of individuals that look at efficiency beyond just what we do on the floor. Representative Westrom.
And Mr. Chair, I hadn't moved it technically, and so I would be happy to go down the road you're suggesting, and I think that gets us to the same point. So,
Mr. Chair, would that be per diem or expense?
That's an offer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In doing this, and I think we do need to look at how to electronically be more efficient, I think we should involve the revisor's office as well. I mean, it's frustrating to me when I get a bill draft that I can't electronically do, track changes or highlights, and instead I have to print out a paper copy and hand scratch it and send it upstairs. I mean, I think, and just even how we design our bills, we might want to do it differently, like put at the front of a big omnibus bill a listing of all the articles, and so people can, as Representative Western said, you know, more easily kind of go right to the information that they're interested in, as opposed to having to scroll through a lot of stuff. So I think there's a broader sort of issue beyond just the floor that we ought to look at.
And members, when we look at efficiency, sometimes there is cost involved on the front end of things. So potentially over the interim, looking at this would be important. Representative Carlson, then I think we'll go back to Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we need language on this.
I got you.
When we were having discussions earlier in the session when the State Department's bill was going through, the issue that surfaced in both the House and the Senate was the need to upgrade the technology. But I'm picking up on what Representative Loeffler was pointing out. I think that you probably want to engage the various departments within the House, mm-hmm. and your comments earlier that you were thinking about some mechanism to maybe bring that together is an important one, but I don't think you need language to give you direction on that. I suspect that it's something that will happen in the normal course of events.
Representative Osment.
Okay, Mr. Representative Duncan said everything I was thinking, so I won't repeat that, but I would like to repeat something that a suggestion that Representative Horton made that I even think could be implemented immediately, and I'd certainly like to do it. If I just put a green card in that little holder on my desk, that means I don't want paper. And if I just like to be able to put a card on my desk that says, take the paper somewhere else, I don't want it. I'll work off the electronics, and if we all end up doing that, it's already resolved. So it's. But I think we can. I can stop the paper coming to my desk if I have a mechanism to do it. But I hate telling every page coming by. No, not me. No, skip me. No. Let me do something that I can just put that message out.
Okay, and we can talk to the front desk about that. What's on Garofalo?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the hearing, and I guess I was not expecting such a long and lengthy discussion on the matter, but I do appreciate the members of the committee listening, and regardless of what we do today, I would be interested in offering any sort of technical assistance or whatever you need from me to try to make this thing happen.
Okay. Representative Paulson.
And I'm not going to prolong this, but you know, I think Representative Westrom and his comments, members, I think Representative Westrom has actually been pretty quiet over the last 6, 7, 8 years he's been here in the legislature, and I know it's been...
That long?
It's been a little potentially frustrating for someone of Representative Westrom's caliber having a disability. And I think this body needs to do more to be accessible for other folks who are going to be coming here potentially with disabilities. And I know, you know, the ADA and other factors come into place, and Representative Westrom really has strongly looked at that with the technology aspect and what's available for him on his laptop. And I know he feels pretty passionately about it, even though he feels passionate about other issues. You hear about that a lot in the House floor, maybe not so much on this issue, but I think Representative Westrom raises some good points and should be involved in as you go forward.
Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'd hate to have this committee be on record as opposing the electronic amendment. It might stifle debate during the summer session. And if, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, I do get per diem if I'm on this study committee, right?
Representative Garofalo, yet to be decided. Talk to Representative Detmer before we get you on there.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Viskins, I would respectfully request that you withdraw my amendment, but I do look forward to talking about this and whether Representative Osborne is an opt-in or opt-out. It's clearly... And we can leverage the technology we have here. We can be a little more efficient with things.
Okay. So withdrawn.
Thank you. Representative Fiskins withdraws the 825 amendment. Representative Paulson.
Mr. Chair, I will move the 1.51 amendment that Representative Broadhead offered on the floor. I'll offer this not only because I've had the bill introduced in the legislature to meet every other year, and not only because it would help ensure that we remain a part-time legislature and that the governor can call us back if we have business to do. But I think, Mr. Chair, with the long hours that we are engaged in right now, if we pass this amendment, you can walk on the House floor today and be a hero among 134 members, knowing that we'll complete our work in a couple weeks and not have to do this again next year.
Representative Paulson moves the 881.51 amendment. And Representative Paulson, I'd hate to ruin my reputation and walk to the House floor as a hero. Discussion. Representative Singleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hate to oppose my colleague, but I will oppose this amendment. I do a lot of work with NCSL, and around the country it seems like the reason for legislators meeting every year is dependent upon the population and the size of the budget of the state. And certainly our state has passed that threshold where there's ongoing needs that we would need to meet on an annual basis. So oppose this. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the A8 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Representative Viskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I believe that is all the amendments that we will be moving from the two-page sheet.
Okay.
So if appropriate at this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the 016 amendment.
Representative Viskins moves the 016 amendment. That would be the last amendment in your packet. Representative Coles, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for holding this hearing. I appreciate, although I was disappointed on the House floor when we pushed all these here, I'm glad that they at least are getting a hearing and an opportunity for members to discuss them.
Representative Coles, before you begin, as you said that, I just want to make sure that history is very accurate with the amendments on the floor and which were moved where. Just for members' information, Representative Coles and other members' information, on the floor when we had the rules discussion, we voted on the House floor 15 of the amendments. We moved 13 of them to the committee, and we adopted 4 amendments. So just point of information for all members. 15 were voted on the floor, 13 sent to this committee, and 4 were adopted. That's in close.
Well, Mr. Chair, I hope that we can, I hope that the committee will adopt this one and we can add it to the rules. This is a very simple amendment to the rules. What it does is it provides that the House controller will post per diem information about each member on the House website. There's been some discussion here about the need to create some policy, and I'm not trying to necessarily write policy into the rules. The Rules Committee can and should figure out exactly what this means, but I think it's important that it be in our House rules. Representative Simon was talking earlier about the shroud and mystery around per diem, and I hear about it all the time in my district. I don't think it's something that we as legislators should be ashamed of or embarrassed about. It is what it is, and we all have, as Representative Simon talked about, the choice, the ability to choose what is right for us, our situation, our expenses, our district, Representative Dill. And so all this amendment would do is bring some sunshine, bring some light to the issue of per diem that really right now is not something that the public easily understands or has the ability to access. As the chair pointed on the floor, the public does have the ability to request the information, but it is very cumbersome. It's very burdensome to try to get that information. We've made modifications to the House website several times, including 2 that I'm aware of this year. Representative Marquardt had a link put on the website so that people could submit property tax relief ideas. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Representative Atkins had something, and I can't remember.
Yeah, that was a virtual hearing, actually, and then also a survey on the smoking ban.
Survey on the smoking ban. So Mr. Chair and members, I don't think that we're imposing any kind of significant burden on House staff. We certainly have the ability to use our website. It really is about some sunshine, and I urge members of adoption to be happy to answer any questions.
Representative House.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have an oral amendment, and I might need help from staff. What I want to list here, members, is the attendance record and also the distance the member lives from the state capitol. I'll post it on the website also. We're going to mark per diem. I want to know how many times people are here and not here on the website also, and how far from the capitol they are. So if staff could help me, I don't think it would take more than 3 or 4 words.
While staff works on that, perhaps we could have more discussion to the amendment. Representative Coles.
Mr. Chairman, Representative House, thank you. I'm not going to oppose that. I don't have any problem with it at all. I mean, it makes some sense. And I think that Representative Dill earlier today raised some incredibly valid points about the differences in our districts, the geography, not only the differences in our district, but the difference in terms of where we live relative to the Capitol. So, Representative House, I think that makes some sense. Whether it should be added as an amendment here, I leave that to the committee for sure, but I'm certainly not opposed to what you're trying to do, Representative House.
Representative Solberg?
Well, just one point of clarification. You know, at least not everyone in my district has the web availability, but, you know, everyone, at least once a year, the newspapers publish our per diem. Just about everybody gets it. So it's wide open information, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I have 5 local newspapers in the district that I represent, and they occasionally do stories on legislative salary and per diem, and not everybody in my district reads those newspapers. Not everybody in my district has Internet access either. I don't see why we should prevent somebody from accessing information that is public information in a way that's most preferred to them. You're absolutely right. There are a lot of people who don't have Internet access yet, and this isn't going to prevent the news media or constituents from going about another route to obtain this information. But it does provide some additional sunlight on this issue that we all know is very controversial. I don't think it's an issue we should be ashamed about or embarrassed about. Let's stand up and let you know, let our constituents know, and the public know, not just our constituents, but, I mean, we are state representatives. People in your district, Representative Solberg, ought to know what it is I'm claiming for per diem and what Representative Biskins and Representative Paulson are claiming as per diem. Just as they should for you. We not only represent our districts, but we represent the state. And so I think we ought to make that information as available as possible to people across the state.
I believe Mr. McCormick has some language for us. Mr. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, the new sentence would read, the House Controller shall post per diem information, comma, attendance records at official events where a roll is taken, comma, and the distance each member must travel from their place of residence to the state capitol, comma, for each member of the House on the House website.
Representative House?
That's what I would move, Mr. Chairman.
Representative House moves the oral amendment. Discussion to the oral amendment. Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I guess there was more to the amendment, but I'm not sure I'm in favor of the amendment yet, but the attendance seems to me that could be kind of a cumbersome thing for the staff to collect, and so I'm just curious how much time that would include to go through all the minutes and figure out who's attended what, et cetera, but I'm going to oppose it at this point just because I'm not sure I'm supporting the amendment either.
Representative Dale.
Same point, Mr. Chairman. I think before we go off on this course, we should be hearing from the folks that would send all that information and find out what the fiscal impact is of it and what the dynamics are of trying to accomplish that. I'm not afraid. I've only missed, I think, when my mother died, you know, and I'm glad to take per diem, and people look at me out in my district and say, why do you do that? So put her on there, but I think we better know what we're doing first.
Any other discussion?
Chairman, just very quickly, the point that I made earlier about rural members and travel, I think that could be greatly misunderstood, and I find it interesting that the suggestion does come from a rural member, but that windshield time, you know, you're not necessarily, when you're traveling down, and I know you travel, if I recall, from the Backus Hackensack area, you probably often have to come down if it's an early morning meeting the day before, and so under your language, how's that going to be calculated and understood if you put in for per diem for that travel day, and I would think you very legitimately should be reimbursed for that travel.
That's somehow,
well, Mr. Chairman, my strong point is the attendance record. The distance from the Capitol, I don't think it matters how many times you drive down here. They need, when they see how far away you are, they will understand that my per diem might be slightly higher than someone that lives in Robbinsdale. And they'll figure that out on their own.
Mr. Carlson.
Chairman, if I may, I'm talking about the travel day. I'm talking about attendance, where you perhaps would travel down and you wouldn't necessarily be in attendance at that point in time at a committee hearing. And yet you would be putting in for a day of travel very legitimately. So I'm not sure how you would calculate that. I'd be a little careful what you're asking for here in terms of how that might be misunderstood by some if you're in a committee meeting on Tuesday but you travel down on a Monday night.
Discussion to the oral amendment. Representative Osmond.
And I would also oppose this amendment because the it doesn't really tell the whole picture. I'd like, if we're going to start listing out things, I'd like to get people to know how many days I'm down here and I never take any per diem. So every time I come down to the Capitol and electronically they know I got to, you know, use my card to get through the ramp. There's lots of things. If I don't take the full maximum amount, shouldn't people understand what the maximum amount is versus what I actually am taking? I mean, there's lots of information. If we're going to start going this route, there's a lot of stuff you have to put out there in order to get the full picture, not just the distorted picture that some people want to make out of members trying to get some compensation for the actual costs that they incur.
All right. Justin Nelson.
I also oppose, I guess I oppose the overall amendment that they're discussing here because it also doesn't do the whole picture. I mean, my house district is about 4.5-5 square miles, and I don't even want to guess the size of Representative Dill's, 9,200. So, I mean, even traveling in his district, he could rack up a lot more per diem and a lot more cost than I would when I could walk across my district and back two or three times in a day. It takes him 5 hours to drive across his district. So, I mean, I think we're getting at gotcha stuff, gotcha politics here. This is see what people are spending and go after them for this, and I don't think this is a good amendment.
Okay. Representative House.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I'm a little set aback that he's picking up on your gotcha politics phrase. I believe that's yours. We don't use Polenis. It's fluid a lot. So I'm embarrassed for him by that, but I'll withdraw my amendment because I probably would have voted against it anyway. I'll just keep quiet and vote against Cole's amendment.
Okay. Representative Hollis withdraws his amendment. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the amendment, you know, I don't know why people protest so much. The Senate does this, and for the powdered wigs to be more responsive to the people than the honorable members of the House, I think is something I don't want to be labeled with. Mr. Chairman, I ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Further discussion. Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, very much appreciate the discussion. Representative Nelson, this isn't anything about Dutch politics. This is about making sure that the public has the opportunity to understand compensation and per diem. Our salary is set in statute. It's clear. We have this thing that's shrouded in mystery, as Representative Simon rightfully said, about, you know, when the Senate passed their $99 per diem, I heard more about how in the world, Representative Coles, can you take $99 in per diem? People don't get it. People need an opportunity to understand it. This is one way to shed some light on it. All I want to do is make sure that people understand. We shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that we take per diem. I'm not. I take $77 a day, 6 days a week. I have absolutely no problem letting anybody here, any of my constituents, or anybody in the state of Minnesota understand that. I'm happy to stand up and justify that and explain that. And if somebody wants to create a campaign brochure and go after me, first of all, I don't think it's going to be very effective, number one. And number two, Representative Solberg is drafting already, I think.
Well, I was thinking about that now that you mentioned it.
But
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, this really isn't about gotcha politics. It's about providing information and sunshine to the people of the state of Minnesota about this thing that is shrouded in mystery. It's about per diem. Let's not be embarrassed about it. Let's not be ashamed of it. Let's make sure that we're taking what we feel we need to cover our expenses and be open about it. There's nothing about gotcha politics here, Representative Nelson.
Representative Coles, point of information, you said the Senate has $99 a day. I believe it's $96 a day. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair and Representative Coles, I can't understand what else it could be besides gotcha politics. I mean, I have the two odd bodies in my district and Lorraine who always, every year, I get three comments on per diem. You can deny it all you want, but it is gotcha politics to me, and frankly, I'm going to vote against this. I'm a little tired of gotcha politics, but that's what happens around here.
Representative Simon.
Just a question. What do you envision would happen here when you say per diem expense information? Is that just an aggregate amount? I mean, I'm sensitive to what Representative Osmond was getting at, which is, what's the context here? Is it just member and aggregate amount? Is it member and amount per day? I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea of making information that's available to the public, but how do you envision that this would be, how would it look if someone clicked on this? Is it just member and an aggregate amount? Is it, what would it look like?
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chairman, or Representative Simon, I think it's a great question, and the rule is intentionally a little vague in that regard, because as there was some discussion earlier, part of this committee's function is to set some policy. I want to set a rule indicating that it needs to be there. I want to leave it to this committee to decide if it's member and aggregate dollars, if it's member and amount that they claim per day and how many days they claim it and what that aggregate is. I don't think we need to write the formula into the rules, but I think it is important enough that it does belong in the rules, and then this committee should take the rule, set some policy around how it ought to be done, and go from there.
There's some Simon.
Well,
Well, Representative Coles, would you consider withdrawing the amendment or at least amending it to make that more clear? I mean, would you consider working on that? I mean, I am sensitive to what Representative Osment was getting at, that we should have the proper context here so that someone just doesn't click on a name and a number and draw a bunch of conclusions. I think information that's public information should be public, but would you consider doing that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Simon, I'm not sure that I want to withdraw the amendment today. I'm certainly open to another amendment. I'm not, maybe, Mr. Chair, if I could ask a question of you. Can you assume for a moment that this amendment actually passes? just play with me here. Assume that happens. What next, Mr. Chairman? What happens after that?
Representative Coles, it would have to be, I believe, I should go to Mr. McCormick on that, actually.
Mr. Chair, if this amendment or any amendment passes, a committee report on the Rules Committee will be crafted and delivered to the floor, and when that report comes, it will be debatable, amendable, and maybe passed or rejected by the House floor. So any amendment to the actual permit rules of the House has to be done on the House floor.
That's one question.
Mr. Chairman, in light of that, Representative Simon, I guess what I would say is that I am absolutely willing to work with you, Representative Osment, anybody else as this moves forward to try to provide that context. And if we want to set, just do the aggregate number, if we want to provide some additional information around it, and we want to put that into the House rule, I'm fine with that. It sounds like once this passes the Rules Committee here today, we're going to have another opportunity to work on this as it moves toward the floor. And I'd be happy to work with you, Representative Osment, anybody else who has an interest in this. I really want to make sure, it's really about shining some light on this mystery of per diem.
Members, we have approximately 5 more minutes left. I'm hoping to get to a vote on this amendment, and we'll be coming back when the House either adjourns or recesses. Representative Murphy, Finstead, and then Representative Paulson. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, very briefly. I think transparency is good in this process, but I think it's got to tell the whole story. And the amendment, the way it's drawn right now, I don't think tells the whole story. And one of the themes that comes up every time we talk about per diem, and it's been raised a number of times in a number of venues this session, is how hard people work to represent their constituents. And that point is really clear to me. And we all have to do it in different ways because we represent different districts, but it is clear now after 5 months here that the people that are elected are working very, very hard. I think that the way this is drafted right now will work against the integrity of this institution because it doesn't tell the whole story, and I think it plays on the stereotype that we are here doing soft jobs that don't matter that much, and I think our behavior and the work that we've done for the last 5 months is the exact opposite. I don't want to hurt the institution. I am for transparency, but I don't think we're telling the whole story here, and that's why I'm going to oppose the amendment.
That's something said.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be really quick. Something Representative Mahoney said caught my attention. And as a senior member, could you advise me on how one could, if I was a constituent constituent in your district, how would I get this information right now?
Representative Mahoney.
See how good I do with technology? Call me. They could call me. I would call down the House Research, tell them to get that number, and I would hand it over to my legislative staff and tell them to send it out. When they ask, I'll tell them. I think we are underpaid, underappreciated, and overworked to begin with, and I think to actually deal with this, we should be bringing forth honest legislation about salaries in this particular institution. And we tried last year. We couldn't get 34 votes on both sides in an agreement not to use it in campaigns. I'm a little tired of it, and that's exactly what this particular meeting and this particular amendment is about, and I'm very tired about that.
Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'll just point out that if you feel that you're so overworked, this amendment then would relieve the burden a little bit because you would save a call from a constituent to ask you to talk to House Research to get the info. Then click on the mouse, have it right in front of them, and it would be done. It's good government.
Point of information, yes, actually, sure. And Representative Mahoney, before you respond, you call down to the comp House Controller. I've done it many times. They have all this information at their fingertips, so it's actually the House Controller. Representative Mahoney.
Representative Finstad, Lorraine, who calls every year and asks about it, does not have a computer, and the other two that do, the other two letters, I just respond with a note and a card, and I get the total that I had from last year, and I send it on out. And also, the newspaper puts it out every year for me also. So whenever those two, I just am reinforcing what those two people that write or email. Actually, one emails and one writes what I get.
Okay. Representative Paulson, and then Representative Dill, and then we need to vote on this and recess shortly.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just say that if the information is already available and you can get it from the comptroller, and if you don't believe that's hurting the institution, Representative Murphy, then you should support this amendment as well. And if the Senate is already doing it, I don't think the Senate is engaged in gotcha politics. I don't understand the gotcha politics. But, I mean, it's really whether do you want to make it more difficult to get the information or not. I mean, that's the bottom line here. Do you want to make it more difficult to get the information, regardless of how it's going to be presented? I guess I would assume they would present it on the website the same way it's presented by the comptroller. It should be consistent. I mean, public information should be public. So, I mean, I would support the amendment. That's really what it's about.
Representative,
I just want to make a minor correction to what Representative Mahoney said. He said that we could not get 68 votes on the compensation increase last year. Representative Tao and I had 68 signatures on the bill that would take the compensation council. We took the bill to Representative Intenza, the minority leader, the majority leader, Representative Paulson, and they would not advance the speaker, and they would not advance the bill. We did have 68 signatures on the bill last year, and we could not advance the bill. So what really amounts to is that we have no guts and that we won't do the right thing and that the per diem continues to be an issue only because people keep bringing it up. I mean, in a small town in Orr, I sit down in the coffee shop and people say, oh my God, Dill's in the coffee shop. What is he doing? I'm doing the business of the city. That's where you do the business of the city. In the coffee shop, not up at City Hall. Let's have some guts and let's do the right thing. We don't need that much per diem. I don't need that much per diem, but I need to get paid more.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion, roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Piskins.
Aye.
Carlson.
No.
Dill.
No.
Earhart. Finstad.
Yes.
Hillstrom.
No.
Portman. House.
No.
Junkie.
No.
Lilly.
No.
Loeffler.
No.
Magnus.
Aye.
Mahoney.
No.
Murphy.
No.
Nelson.
No.
Osmond.
Aye.
Paulson.
Aye.
Kowalski. Peterson.
No.
Simon.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Solberg.
No.
Thiessen. Singlestad.
Aye.
Westrum.
Aye.
There being 9 ayes and 13 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Members, just for information, we're going to be going to session at 10 o'clock. It's my intent to bring the Rules Committee back into this room, either if we recess or when we adjourn the House. Members, this meeting is in recess.
Members, we're going to call the meeting back to order.
We have a little bit of business left before us. We're waiting for Representative Olson to make it here, but in that time, Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank you for allowing these amendments to be heard in this committee. The last meeting, I think I said it felt more like a monarchy than a democracy. I feel very comfortable saying Mr. Chairman and not Your Highness or the Emperor at this point, and I appreciate that, so thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, our caucus, members of our caucus I've talked to, we will rescind the remaining amendments that have been brought forward from our caucus. However, Mr. Chairman, there is still one outstanding issue in front of this committee, I believe. At our last meeting, you laid over a motion And there was no vote, so there isn't, it wasn't actually laid on the table, I believe. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd request that we now bring up that motion, and I know we have the author of the motion dealing with the Attorney General's office here in the room, and if he could speak to that, I would appreciate it.
Okay. President Biskins makes a motion to take up the Emmer motion from the table, and we can that needs to be voted upon. And I believe Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, does it need to be voted on when it was not voted on to be set on the table in the first place? Mr. Chairman, I believe at your discretion, because it was a discretionary move to lay it over, there was no vote to lay it on the table.
I believe in consulting with nonpartisan research that we can take a vote on this, that it's up to the discretion of the chair, and I'd rather take a vote on that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman,
let's have biscuits.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, would you be so kind as to allow the author of the motion, the author of the issue, all right, to speak to it prior to the vote to take it off the table?
Representative Biskin, the reason it was laid on the table before was that there was not, there was strong concern from many on this committee, but also in discussing with nonpartisan research and legal, that we should not get involved in this at this time. I know of no other new information between when we had the previous hearing till today, so I think it'd be I'd much rather take up this issue after consulting potentially with the author of the motion and see if there's any new information. And that would be my preference at this time. Representative Biskins.
Mr. Chairman, are you then encouraging members to vote to take it off the table?
Mr. Representative Biskins, I would encourage a no vote on taking it off the table at this time. All those in favor of taking the motion off the table, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Members, Representative Olson is now with us. Representative Olson, if you want to come to the table, I will move the language to be put before us. It's getting to your hands right now. If you want to have a seat, this would be the House Rules Amendment 6, then in parentheses, A12. And Representative Olson, we discussed off the floor, there was some there's some language missing from this, so perhaps someone can actually, if our page can get him the information from the journal as well that was printed off. We have the language. We found the language. It's actually supposed to be within this amendment, and I will move to get this language in proper order. The journal page, I'm sorry. You got that too? Great. All right. So, Mr. McCormick, if you could explain what I have to move to get this in the order it was when we discussed it before.
Mr. Chairman, I think the correct motion would be to incorporate the language from the journal page 588, marked rules in the upper left-hand corner, into the A12 amendment, the effect of which would be to create an amendment which deleted the current process for setting the calendar of the day and the current process for setting the fiscal calendar. And you're all aware that just recently, this last week, we adopted the dates for those rules. That process would be deleted, and instead you'll be replaced with the requirement that the bill be on general register for 7 calendar days before it may be placed in the calendar of the day, and the requirement that there be 24-hour notice to members before a bill is heard, and the placement on the calendar of the day or fiscal calendar be at least 48 hours prior to consideration on the floor. And those are all consistent with the amendment that Representative Olson brought to the floor.
Okay. Members, any question on getting this amendment in the order of Representative Olson? Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, Mr. McCormick, just a quick question. I thought you had two provisions, 24 hours and 48 hours, and I'm wondering if they conflict touches in 24 hours before it can be brought up on the floor, but it has to be on the calendar 48 hours.
Right.
By having it 48 hours, wouldn't that automatically default that the 24 hours would be the timeline wouldn't have been met, because if you've had it on for 48 hours, 24 is automatical.
Mr. McCormick.
A better way to describe what would happen if this amendment went on would be that if a bill came out of committee, it would have to go on the general register for at least 7 days before it could be heard on the calendar of the day. If a bill is to be heard on the calendar day of the fiscal calendar, it must be on there for at least 48 hours prior to consideration on the floor. So the first says it must be on the general register for 7 days. The second says it must be on the fiscal calendar or calendar of the day for 2 days. And finally, members must have 24 hours notice that that is going to be heard on the floor. So you'd have sort of this series of timelines which would structure how a bill came from committee to the floor. 7 days on the general register, 2 days on the fiscal or calendar of the day, 1 day notice to members that it's going to be heard tomorrow, for example. And that would replace the current system, which requires the notice by 5 o'clock the day before, and then after a date certain, notice with 2 hours notice.
Okay, and Mr. McCormick, I can incorporate this into the amendment.
I would say, Mr. Chair, yes, you can, and if this passes, then we will, and in our report to the floor, we'll draft this as a complete standalone so that everyone can see it more clearly, but I think the intent is pretty clear here.
Okay, we have the amendment before us. Epson Olson, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for that very good explanation. With that, I can probably be very brief. Okay, look. If it's yes. No, members, the whole idea here is that deliberation is not just what occurs on the House floor. It's what occurs behind the scenes, what occurs in lobbying, it's what occurs in negotiations, it's what occurs in the development of a bill. Deliberation involves many things. And when you have thousands of bills introduced, we have to hunt to figure out which one's coming up sometimes. And it's like looking across the field, wondering where the bird is going to pop up and be ready to shoot. Be ready. So you have your 7 days to bring notice, elevated notice. Then you have your 2 days to bring a more elevated notice. And then you have a 24-hour notice, just like we have when we come to committee. We all have 24-hour notice when we come to committee. We know what's going to be on the agenda. But ironically, with more members involved and closer to passage, with more important decision-making going on, we don't have that on the floor in the same way. We do not know exactly what's going to come up on the floor. We can have a long list on the calendar, and we really don't know what is going to come up. We could have a list on the calendar that is more comprehensive than we have the ability to be prepared for. That's why we need the 24-hour notice, because that causes us and enables it, causes those who are making the decisions about what's coming up to make sure they fulfill their responsibility to all of us who are going to make the decision, that we can be prepared for what's coming up. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Discussion to the Sertich motion. President Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question that I don't know if it's to Representative Olson or just to Mr. Chair. So a situation like yesterday with the Browns Valley issue, where we declared an emergency and moved that through rather quickly, that would still be a possibility under this? Is that right?
We did suspend the Constitution and the rules, which we can always do on bills, so that would still be able to happen.
Thank you.
Yep. Other discussion or questions? All right, hearing none, I will renew my motion on the A-12 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Thank you, Representative Olson. Members, any other amendments? All right, hearing none, I want to thank you very much. Hopefully folks can get a chance to stretch their legs before we go back at 3:30, members. Meeting's adjourned.